Are you the Tragically Hip's ultimate super fan? Or do you know someone who just might be? Well, I'm on the hunt for the biggest hip fan out there. The one who's been there for every tour, knows every lyric, and maybe even has a lyric tattooed somewhere they're not legally allowed to show on Instagram. This is your chance to give them the recognition they deserve. Or hey, maybe it's time to finally recognize yourself. Nominate someone, or yourself, by commenting on our official contest posts on social media. We're looking for passion, stories, and fans who go above and beyond because The Hip was never just a band. It was, and still is, a way of fucking life. The fans with the most nominees will move on to the next round. Yes, there is a second round. But first, we need your help by surfacing the super fans. So scroll, tag, and celebrate the people who've made Hip fandom their personality trait in the best possible way. Dude, there's a sash, there are prizes, there are bragging rights forever. But most of all, there's a chance to be part of something bigger than yourself. So please, nominate someone today.
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
Thomas from Belgium. What was your first experience with New Orleans' Sinkin'?
Was the second or third hip song I ever heard. After Bob Cajun and maybe Ahead by a Century. I definitely remember where I was. I was in my parents' kitchen.
Really?
Yeah, I was in my parents' kitchen. I'd just come downstairs for breakfast. I decided I'll listen to another song by these guys. And I can't remember what got me to pick that one first. Maybe it was, you know, their first hit or something like that, their first big hit at least. And I listened to that one, and I, you know, at the time I remember thinking, this is pretty good.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. It is an absolute thrill to be here with you week over week, where we're going to count down 40 essential tracks by The Hip that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a Kia Sportage being hand-washed by a pack of underdressed teenagers, raising money, likely for drugs. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out. So there's that. This week I'm joined by the Tragically Hip superfan, Mark from Michigan. Mark, how the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day?
I'm doing really well, JD. It's great to be with you.
Excellent. Oh, it's great to have you. This is my pleasure, for sure. This is easy lifting for me. You know, you guys do all the work.
Yeah.
So it's real easy for me. Yeah.
Cool.
So speaking of that, why don't we just get right into things and go right into your hipstory or your Tragically Hip origin story?
Okay. Well,
where does it begin?
I have a few near misses with The Hip along the years before I really got into them. So tracing it back, I think it probably, my first encounter with them was probably in the early 90s. And I think it might have been the CMJ magazine, I think, College Music Journal. And it was either that or maybe it was Spin. I can't remember. It was some music magazine. And there was a little blurb about this Canadian band called The Tragically Hip. And I remember thinking, oh, they sound pretty interesting. You know, it's cool. And I probably looked for their CDs in the record store and I couldn't find them. And then that sort of fizzled out. And then the next actually more of a hit was in 1997 when the movie The Sweet Hereafter came out.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And there was Courage was in that movie, the hip version. And Sarah Polley, who was the main actress or one of the main actresses in that movie, did a cover
version. Yeah.
Really gentle, very folky, quiet, beautiful cover of the song. And so I bought the soundtrack to the movie, which I still have. I probably went out looking for hip music again. And I think just being in Michigan, being far enough away from Detroit, which seems to be like the boundary of the hip's penetration, at least in Michigan.
Okay.
I didn't find anything, and it was still the 90s, and you weren't really ordering CDs from record stores, or at least I wasn't. It never occurred to me that, hey, maybe I could just ask at the clerk at the record store if they could find, you know, an album for me. It just never occurred to me. So anyway, when it really hit, when it finally hit for me, was in about 2005 or 2006. So I'm kind of a Johnny come lately, I have to admit.
No.
Not ashamed of it,
it's
but
fine.
I started working at the Capital Area District Library, where I currently work. And we got a copy of Your Favorites in to my branch, which was really cool. I don't know who ordered it for us, but whatever, it came in. And I saw it and I thought, that's that band that I keep thinking I should, you know, give them a try. I should listen, you know, listen to these guys. I've over the years, I've heard about this band, and finally here it is. So I checked it out, put it in the car, and initially I liked it. And the song that really blew me away, though, and just sent me into fandom, like irrevocable fandom, was At the 100th Meridian.
Oh, wow.
I thought that song just, oh my God. I mean, you know, the Get Right Cooter to Sing My Eulogy part. I just thought these lyrics are so audacious,
yeah,
and out there, and the song is just pile driving rock. And so that was it. That was the song. I'm a fan now. So I ordered that compilation. And I was also working part-time at a bookstore / music store. So finally, I had an opportunity to actually order stuff. And of course, we're also in the age of Amazon. So in short order, I just went nuts. And I just ordered every hip album I could get my hands on. And
really?
So within like a couple of years, I think I had the whole collection and was, you know, making up for lost time. So
gee,
that's my hip. That's my hip origin story.
That's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me follow up. What was the first record that you bought after Your Favorites? You borrowed Your Favorites, but what was the first record you bought? Do you recall?
The first studio album was, let's see, it might have been Trouble at the Hen House, maybe, it's hard for me to remember that. It might have been Fully, it might have been Up to Here.
Okay.
Probably one of those two. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I might have gone chronologically. The store I was talking about actually had In Between Evolution. They got that in. So I bought that. And then I think I actually found Fully Completely at another store in town, which was like, finally, one of these stores have some hip albums in them. They must have had some people working there who were hip fans. Yep. It was such a flurry that I hardly remember which one was the first one. Anyway.
You just did it so fast.
Yeah, it was like, bam, bam, bam. I'm obsessed. I have kind of an obsessive personality when it comes to music. I'm one of those people, like, if I get into something, I have to have it all.
You're a completist.
I'm kind of a completist, yeah.
A fully and completist.
Exactly, yeah.
That's right. Uh-huh. So, talk to me. Did you ever get a chance to see the boys live?
I did see them, yes, twice.
Talk to me about that.
Okay, well, the first time was... Okay, sorry about these cats. The first time was in 2007. I hadn't been to a concert in 6 years, at almost 6 years at this point. Went to see Bob Dylan in 2001, but, anyways, it was right around the time the hip had released, World Container.
Okay.
And which is probably the first hip album I bought at, you know, the time that it actually was released. Saw they were going on tour, and I think I told my wife, we got to see these guys. Because I don't know how much longer, you know, they've been around a while. Who knows how much longer they'll be together? And I've, you know, was deep into my hip obsession at this point. So we went to see them. They played the State Theater in Detroit, right on Woodward, and we got main floor seats. So we were maybe 10 feet from Gord and the band.
Oh my God.
It was just mind blowing. They were fantastic. And just watching Gord on stage, the energy he had, and he's about 4 years older than me. And I thought,
okay,
this guy is my role model. You know, if I can stay in that condition, you know, 4 years from now, or even remotely close to that, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
It was so memorable just seeing the energy that he brought to the performance. And another memorable part was they played Nautical Disaster, which was fantastic. And there was a couple right next to us who were practically making out during the entire song. I thought,
wow, it's so romantic. You know?
Yeah, it's such a romantic song about, you know, shipwreck or ship sinking. whatever floats your boat or whatever gets you going.
That's strange.
But it was a great show. A lot of fun. And then we saw him again in 2012 for the Now for Plan A tour. Same venue.
Oh.
Which really? By then was called the Fillmore. Changed the name.
Okay, I know the
State
Fillmore.
Theater.
Yeah.
To the Fillmore. Yep. Yep. Right near the ballpark there on Woodward. And the most memorable part of that show was we were up in the balcony and there was an incredibly drunk woman there who was just out of her mind. And I was coming back to my seat from having gone to
the restaurant. Told my mother not to go to that show.
Yeah. She body checks me for some crazy reason. I don't know why. And security comes a little later and escorts her out. So I don't know what was going on with her, but
was she hollering or anything like that? Was she
not really?
She being just rowdy.
Something must have happened before the show. Maybe she got in an argument with somebody, or maybe she was just drunk out of her mind. So that was the most memorable part. Was, you know, someone in the crowd, but it was a good show. You know, it was great to see those guys again.
Oh, yeah.
And,
especially that record.
Yeah.
I didn't get to hear much of that record. Did I get to hear any of that record live? I don't think I did.
Oh,
I don't think I heard any of that record live.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I'll have to look at the set lists.
Yeah, I will too. I'm sure they played quite a few songs from the album. Yeah.
Oh, jealous.
Yeah.
Very jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they must have played Streets Ahead, which I think is a really cool song. You know, it's got a really good driving, driving you know, rhythm, really fast and kind of upbeat, I think.
So if you had to sum it up in a phrase or two, what makes The Hip one of your favorite bands? Why are you a Tragically Hip super fan?
Oh, let's see. First of all, they're a great band, I think. They just play really well together.
They sure do.
The songwriting is excellent. I love the lyrics. I've learned so much about Canadian history from Gord. I was thinking the other day, I took a Canadian history course in college, but I think I've learned more about Canada, just the culture, of the country from Gord than I ever did in that college history course.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it's hard to quantify what it is about them. But I think it is the combination of great lyrics, thoughtful lyrics, poetic lyrics, and you know, just the range of music those guys play. I mean, from rock to folk. They can play just about anything.
They just seem
like really good guys, you know, just really good guys.
Have you watched the docuseries on Prime?
I did, yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah. There was so much about the band that I didn't know, but just because they've been so private over the years, which I really respect. You know, they really kept it in-house, and to learn all the stuff I didn't know about. It was just pretty incredible.
Yeah, I would agree. And you're right. Part three and part four, Tissue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You know, like, if you haven't watched it yet out there. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough watch.
Yeah.
It really is. And to hear of the strife, you know,
that
which
was
we never heard
really
of before.
Interesting. Yeah. I had no idea what they went through from right around 2000, around the time of Music at Work.
Seems that way.
All the way through the 2000s. Wow. Yeah. I had no idea. But just because they have always been so good at keeping everything inside
down.
Among the That's five right. of them. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, really, it's none of our business, but now they've made it our business by, you know, talking about the strife. But it was just so unsettling because we thought, you know, like we've always thought that they're brothers. And then I really did some thinking about it. And I was like, well, brothers fight all the time. You know, brothers get annoyed with each other. But at the end of the day, they're brothers. And that's really special.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it on Discovering Downey when we did that podcast about are there, like, how many five pieces out there that have been around 30 plus years that have the original lineup? And, you know, you'd really have to think hard to nail a couple. I don't know that there are any.
Yeah.
Craig, one of the co-hosts on Discovering Downey, was pretty convinced that there were none.
Yeah. He's probably right. I really cannot think of anybody.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
a five.
I mean,
right? Like,
yeah, five piece. I mean, you got somebody like Sloan, a four piece.
That's right.
Been together forever. But yeah, it's four of those guys and not five.
Look at you dropping your Canadian knowledge.
Yeah, I love Sloan too. I should be an honorary Canadian.
We can make that
happen. Some of my favorite bands are Sloan and the Tragically Hip.
We can make that happen.
You should try and make
your way to our fundraising event at the beginning of October. 2025.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah. If you can make the drive up, that would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
We can have a little section there to give people honorary Canadian citizenships.
Cool. I'm all for that.
Do you have like a circle of people that you talk about the hip with?
Yeah, there is like maybe one person
my
immediate area who's a hip fan, fairly big hip fan. You know, and I think my wife kind of likes them. At least she is good-natured about it. But I've met a lot of people through like the Facebook group, the Tragically Hip Facebook group.
Absolutely.
Just wonderful people on there. So I've gotten to make a lot of sort of virtual cyber friends. So we get the chance to talk about the band via the Facebook group and on the Tragically Hip fan forum on online, which I'm not really on there as much as I used to be. But the people there are really cool. Yeah, it's they got their own website. I think if you just Google like Tragically Hip fan forum, it'll pop up.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that out. Wow, I can't
it's pretty
believe
cool.
that one snuck past me.
Yeah, it's been around a long time. I think I've been on there since I really started geeking out about the band, you know, 2006 or so. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Mark from Michigan, should we get down to business and talk about the song of the week?
Sure. Let's go for it.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's JD here, and I want to take a second to talk about our sponsorship partner, North Star Bets. Don't fast forward, please. Listen to what I have to say. If you're somebody who dabbles in sports betting or slots or casino games, this is where you gotta go. And I'm gonna tell you why. Customer experience is important. North Star Bets is a recognized leader in that space, having won awards. That's nothing to shake a stick at, unless, of course, it's a complimentary type shake. Listen. When you need help, you're going to get a real person 24/7. You're not going to be dealing with an AI bot. You're not going to have to listen to me. So go to North Star Bets and take advantage of their wicked customer service. Don't take my word for it. Visit today. Must be 19 plus to play. North Star Bets is licensed by iGaming Ontario. Please gamble responsibly.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
10? Holy shit. Onward.
Watch the band. They're a bunch of dancers. Quickly follow the unknown with something more familiar. Quickly, something familiar.
Well, here we are,
Today is the day we talk about the kickoff track from the single-laden record, Fully, Completely. Mark from Michigan, what did you think about Courage for Hugh McLennan the first time you heard it?
Well, the first time I heard the hip version of it, or the first time I really noticed it, I think I heard it in The Sweet Hereafter, but I didn't really have much memory of it then. But hearing it on the Your Favorites compilation the first time, my only frame of reference was the Sarah Polley version. It was a very quiet, gentle folk version. And I was blown away by just the pile driving, hard rocking, driving forward nature of the hips version, you know, with the great guitar breaks in there, and just the intensity of it, the sheer intensity, which no matter how many times I hear the song, it just still blows me away. Just that perfect marriage of great music and intense vocals and lyrics from Gord. A great marriage, great combination of the two. So I love the song. It's one of my favorites.
Not bad for a 32-year-old song, right?
Yeah, right.
Like the fact that you can still throw it on so well. And get something out of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying it's a great kickoff to that album, too. I mean, right in right away. You're there, you know.
It's three records in a row where, you know, you got Blow It High Dough on Up to Here. You got Bones on Road Apples. And then you got Courage on Fully Completely.
Great openers.
Like, that is great openers. These guys know how to sequence a record.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what, and this is always tough with Gord. So, you know, bear that in mind. You don't have to come up with anything too pristine here, but what the hell do you think this one's about?
Okay, well, I'm pretty prepared for this, actually.
Okay.
I'm one of those people who still thinks it's 2010, and I have a blog. And I still write in my blog like a weirdo from like a decade ago. But I took it upon myself to try to write about every hip album. Yeah, but so far I've only made it from the EP up through Fully Completely. I haven't yet tackled Day for Night. So anyway, I wrote something about Courage and I gave it quite a bit of thought at the time. So I'm going to just read what I wrote because I don't think I could possibly say it better than this. And to your listeners, I might be full of crap on this. This is just the way I perceive the song. And I hope this doesn't sound too highfalutin, but here we go.
Okay, Mark, let me just cut you off for 1 second and just say, like, the fact that you're putting yourself out there, you know, for a lyricist like Gord, there's nobody going to listen to this that thinks you're
yeah.
you know, yeah. too overboard, I don't think.
Okay.
So go ahead, my friend.
All right, so here we go. The song seems to be about how we all face our fears with varying degrees of success. Sometimes courage comes, and sometimes it does not. Or as the lyrics state, courage couldn't come at a worse time. Still, we find a way to muddle through to the best of our ability. Sometimes it doesn't matter if we have courage in facing our daily travails. We summon the strength to come through it. The key verse of the song is the one Gord took directly from McLennan's book. There's no simple explanation for anything important any of us do, and the human tragedy consists in the necessity of living with the consequences, under pressure. Who really knows why we do what we do? We just react to situations and make the best choices we can under the circumstances. But sometimes the results of our actions are not favorable. Therein lies the tragedy that Gord talks about. We want to do well, we want to make good decisions, but the end result is often out of our hands. That's what I have.
Mark from Michigan, that is fucking tremendous.
Thank you.
That is great.
Thanks.
That is Yeah, that's really great.
I appreciate
great.
That. So that's just my line. Interpretation.
Sure. No, but, you know, that's what art is, right? It's all of our interpretations, and nobody's right and nobody's wrong. But I think you really, you know, having said that nobody's right, I think you really hit on some themes as far as I'm concerned. Like there's synergies in there between what I think and what you think. And so there must be some truth in there. You know, there must be, because for two people, and there's probably hundreds of us that, you know, think similarly, then there's got to be truth there. There's got to be truth about, you know, specifically the line, courage couldn't come at a worse time. I love that you highlighted the McLennan passage as well, because to me, that is perhaps, if you listen chronologically, perhaps that is Gord's first dalliance with like really high art, you know, like taking that paragraph and turning it into a bridge that totally works, completely works, is nothing short of magical to me.
To be able to put that into a song and make it work, make it sound great, not sound clumsy. The line courage couldn't come at a worse time. I mean, I think that's probably true with all of us. When we summon courage, it's usually not in the best circumstances. It's usually something that bad is happening in our lives.
That's a good point.
And we have to somehow try to summon the courage, and sometimes we can, and we're only human. Sometimes we can't summon the courage. We just sort of maybe muddle our way through, or maybe there's varying degrees of courage.
Sleepwalk so fast to sleep. Sleepwalk
through
life, you know? I don't know. It's a fantastic song, and I want to thank you for sharing that. Mark, do you have anything else that you want to share about courage for Hugh McLennan?
I don't know. Anyone who's not familiar with the Sarah Polley version, I would recommend checking it out. It's obviously a contrast to the Tragically Hip version, but it's really beautiful what she did with it.
It sure is.
I don't know. Just, it's a great song. You know, it's one of the Hip's greatest songs, and I love it. I never get tired of it, ever.
Nope, me neither. Me neither. I could put it on. I'll put it on probably right after we record this.
It sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. So, Mark, you mentioned a blog. This is usually the part of the podcast where I ask people for plugs. So I'm curious if you wanted to plug the URL of the blog so people can check out your work.
It's called Brain Splotch. Brain Splotch at blogspot.com. So if you go into Google and if just type in Brain Splotch and Blogspot, it should come up. Or if you just type in Brain Splotch and Tragically Hip, whatever silliness that I've written about the Tragically Hip will come up. And I wrote about, you know, the death of Gord, and I've written about the documentary. And like I said, I've written, this is just for fun. I mean, I don't expect, I'm going to get any job working for, Mojo or anything, but it's just a good creative outlet for me.
Absolutely.
I've written about, like I said, all the albums through Fully Completely, and I'm trying to summon the courage to tackle Day for Night, which is just daunting. I think will be daunting to write about.
It's a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you go through, on the albums, do you go through each and every track?
I try to. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fantastic.
Yeah, okay, some of them I just say, I don't know what Gord's talking about here. So there's always a caveat, like, this is just what I think. I could be completely full of crap, but, so take it with a grain of salt.
Oh, well, it's you're putting yourself out there, and that's tremendous. So kudos for flying the flag.
Thank you.
I really want to thank Mark from Michigan for stopping by to talk about courage. I want to thank you for listening. Yes, you. I'm going to be like Miss Fran right now. I'm going to say you especially
Bob from Tempe, Arizona. This is Sarah Polley from The Sweet Hereafter with her version of Courage. Yeah. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.